This is
The Persian and the Poet!
Hooray! Besalamati!
Besalamati!
Clink!
Clink!
This podcast is a special one. It's particularly about your new work, Ramak, called Pro Femina. But we also want to acknowledge that this is the anniversary of the death of Mahsa Amini. So, of course, we'll be referring to that as well.
One of the core reasons why I create art is to find beauty within brutality, or even brutality within beauty.
اشرف نیکبخت، مریم قفاسی، فرانک جباری، غزال امیری، آیدا رستمی، دنیا فرهادی، زلیخا ترزی، سمیرا ابراهیمی، ندا بیات، روشنا احمدی، مریم سلیمانیان، بهار خورشیدی، نرگس خرمی فرد، مریم اسماعیل زاده، سارینا شیری، بهناز افشاری، مهدیس حسینی، هلن احمدی، پگاه قباسی، ماریا قباسی، سمیرا نوری، پروین خوشقلی.
Every morning, for the last month, I have watched my Iranian lover roll over, pick up her phone, and be quietly ripped apart. Every morning, I have watched her be torn from the kissing bliss of motherhood, wrenched from coddling Aussie suburbia, and thrown violently into the vicious street fights and chaotic rioting of anonymous Iranians filming their desperate collective scream for freedom. Brief, jerky videos on Twitter, the cinematography of a revolution. This morning ritual, a bitter coffee made with curdled milk, compulsively consumed.
Nadia Arifani, Elah Saidi, Sitare Tajik, Ghazal Amiri.
Sometimes, lying there in bed, she tells me some of the stories, horror stories. Her belly becomes bloated with rage and helplessness. Atrocities sit in her womb like dead fetuses. Such is the pain of being so far away when it's all so close to home. On the news of another girl killed in Tehran, probably thrown from a building, she pulls the bedsheet over her head, the parody of a corpse. Or maybe a gleaming statue of feminine defiance preparing to be unveiled.
Monanaki Parmis Hamnava Aram Majd Moide Hashemi Atefe Naomi نگین رادفر ساناس کشاورز مونا چمنی زهرا جلیلیان سارینا ساعدی آیناز جواهری لینا نامبر مرزی دشمن زیاری پریسا بهمنی نسیم صدقی ناهید مصطفی پور نادیا عارفانی اله سعیدی ستاره تاجیک، پریسا عسکری، شیرین علیزاده، فرانز کاظمی، پرستو مراد.
The poem Body Under a Sheet, written by me, Cameron Simmons, and the names running underneath the poem are all women that have been killed as part of the Woman Life Freedom protests in Iran. And it's only a small sample of the names. What is Profemina?
Hi everyone, I'm so glad we're having this episode. And what's Profemina? Profemina is a Latin term, mm-hmm. and it means for woman.
Okay.
It is the title of my newest series, which currently showing at Art Gallery of Ballarat as a core program in Ballarat International Photo Biennale. And the exhibition is going to be until 5th of November.
Oh. If I'm walking into the gallery, what do I see? What is Profemina? What does it look like?
If you're walking to the gallery, you will see four big images. Mm-hmm. You may think they are painting, but when you get closer, you're realizing it's a real people sitting there with the painted backgrounds.
Oh. So you're using real people in front of backdrops. What's the idea behind doing painted backdrops?
Mainly the painted backdrops I decided to use as my initially as the backdrops was because I wasn't sure if I can find the right place in Australia, outdoor place in Australia to take the photos. Mm. And as I did research, I realized that actually, of course, the Australian nature is super unique with super duper different colors and vibe, and I cannot do that. So I ended up to painting the backdrops by myself to recreate the scene in my mind.
Okay, so initially it was, you just couldn't replicate Iran and Tehran here in Australia because you were thinking of doing it outside. But then you go, okay, I'm going to paint it. But I do know there's a bit more of a story that you got to after that. So you're like, okay, you're going to paint it. But then what's the inspiration behind these paintings?
They refer to the style of Persian painting, which calls coffee house paintings.
Okay.
And you know, in Middle Ages, we had these paintings and even drawings in the churches to depict the story of Jesus or Bible. So in Iran, instead of that, we're having this kind of painting, as I said, which calls coffee house paintings. And it's for really pop culture, for people they are not necessarily educated, because they used to represent in the coffee house, and someone was in the coffee house to describe and tell a narrative and a story based on this paintings, which was really influenced and based on the Persian classic poetry.
So, and you've talked to me about this, that it was based on the Shahnameh, is that right? Shahnameh, the Book of Kings. And one of the interesting things that I think from a Western eye perspective, you know, some of them are just really beautiful paintings that you've done as backdrops. But in one of them, and I know there's more in the series as well, they're these strange little creatures. First time you even showed pictures of them to me, I was like, what is that? What's that about? So in one of them, these big works at the Biennale, you have these strange creatures in the background. So what's the story with these strange creatures?
Those creatures, they call div.
Div.
Yeah, and div, if I'm going to translate it, it means monster or demons or
devils.
Yeah. Or devils, you know? And they have a really strong root in Persian culture and specifically in Persian poetry. And it refers to the characters of the poet Ferdowsi and his amazing poetry.
The other thing that's, when I look at these images, that is, you don't necessarily notice it initially, but when you look closer, it stands out. These scenes have moments of death. And there is blood, but they are not represented in just like red liquid. Tell us about what you did to represent blood. And I suppose also I'm interested in why did you settle on what you did to represent blood?
Oh, that's a really good question, because as you know, when you go to the gallery, you see this big, massive four images, and three of them, actually, you notice they blood. But as you get closer, you see more details, and actually, they are not blood. I use red sequins, glitter, and rhino stones to create blood. And the reason why I did that, because I didn't like the nature, the brutal nature of documentary and photojournalism, you know, in documentary photography, because it happened in the moment, the photograph captured the whole thing, and without, you know, it faces us with that brutality straight away, which personally I'm not drawn to that. I wanted to my audience get involved in my conversation about the issue and raise the awareness about the condition of people, specifically women, back in Iran.
It sounds like, so you didn't want to just confront with this crass image of blood or blood and guts. Because I know that an important part of your art is beauty. That's one of the main reasons why you do art. So I know that even in fashion photography, sometimes they use glitter and colors and rhinestone and stuff.
Yeah, you're interviewing me, Cameron, and you know a lot about my project.
I've done a lot of research.
But absolutely, you know, those glitters or the concept of creating blood instead of doing the liquid blood. It's coming from fashion. Is a strong part of me. I think I'm so drawn to fashion photography, or I would say fashion styling and designing. And, you know, when I sit in that platform of fashion photography, which, you know, in the borders concept, it means beauty and representing beauty. They use that to create blood. It became really interesting. And I was following the few artists and fashion designers, and it was really inspiring. And to me, recreating that was another, adding another layer to my work to use the craft. One of the core reasons why I create art is to find beauty within brutality, or even brutality within beauty.
Yeah, I do think that's a great summation of what drives a lot of your work, because I see that in the themes of mustachioed women and rhinoplastic girls. And there is a flow on from that into this new series.
Yeah, and even before that, I think in my In Pain series in 2016, I did the same thing. And it's kind of my psyche go through that and see the beauty things. In center of all of my series, you see the beauty within a brutality.
What are you hoping that people get out of these images?
I really want to raise the awareness of what's happening. And, you know, I have activist friends. I have friends, they just create. And, you know, I'm an artist. I want to create and tell my narrative and a story through my images. And that's, I would say, this is my way to be part of Woman Life Freedom Movement and give people awareness in Australia. And to be part of that, you have to do something. And this is the way I fight against inequality and human rights.
Yes, I see this is your form of activism. It's art, but it's what I would call captivism. You're trying to capture people and capture a moment. And you can, it's nearly like you're creating a visual language of expression for some of these incredibly devastating and dramatic things that are happening to people in Iran. But by ripple effect, they're also happening to so many Iranians around the world. And here's me, a little whitey. It's also happening to me through you, through all these other events as well. This ripple of consequence, this ripple of pain that has been caused by the death of Mahsa Amini. To think about this moment, which was such a big moment for you and has so many consequences for you, how are you feeling 1 year on? Are you feeling pessimistic, optimistic? Are you still as angry as ever? How are you feeling?
Yes, this is this. The profemina is my response to the death of Master Gino Amini, who killed in the hands of morality police. So this reaction to what happened, me as million of Iranians who suffered from the event inside and outside Iran, was kind of the, I think, the really unconscious and even conscious reaction to just get rid of the pain we are suffering. The images, they get viral through the social media just with really simple images which taken by these
smartphones
and, most important things, random people, like, you know, citizen journalism.
I hear you saying these images that have come off the streets, just taken by random people on their phones, they have been imprinted on the minds of so many people around the world. Some of them are iconic images, you know. I know that these particular photos you've taken for Profemina, they're not just your complete imaginations. You are representing some of these scenes that people will be familiar with, scenes in Tehran. And maybe, could I even hear the story of that boy that was killed?
Yes, the scene number 3 is actually an image of a woman who is lying down, and she's surrounded by ice, and straight away you can tell she's dead. But to me, that was such an intense scene to recreate, and I inspired by the death of Kian Pirfalak, who killed and shot just in the street without any protesting. He was with his family in the car. They were back from an event, not protesting, and he gets shot in the car. And his family kept the body inside the house for almost 2 days, 2 nights, because the government steal the bodies in the way to bury the bodies by themselves, and they don't let the families to bury the bodies of their beloved in the way they want. So the family, because of they didn't want, of course, that happened, they keep the body safe in the ice to bury it by themselves. I inspired by that picture, and but that was Kian Pirfalak, because I believe Kian Pirfalak was one of the victims of Islamic Republic who gets viral. We know him, and we get, you know, we get to know him and go through his story and his family. But I'm sure so many people, so many women, they died in the same way, and families, they did the same thing, which we don't know their names. So for me, is the nature of brutality, and expressing that brutality was important.
One story I want to hear from you is about the backdrops and painting the backdrops, because I know there was a bit of drama involved, but also there was an interesting journey that opened up to your community.
Yeah, one of the really amazing parts in this project, which was really fresh and new for me to experience, is it was the collaboration with other people. Yeah, I started to paint these backdrops by myself, and I already, people asked me to if I need help, but I don't know, for some reason I was thinking I can do it all by myself and quick. And I had to prepare everything. I have to put gesso. I gesso all of the fabrics, and they were kind of 2.5 by 2.5 meters. And when I started the first one, it was really amazingly, I was grateful for a couple of days. It took me it took me 1 week to finish the finish the whole thing, whole scene. And when I'm talking about whole week, I was going to I used to wake up 6 a.m. and finished up at 12 at night time. And I was whole time I was standing up and doing painting.
For those first few days, you know, you're like, hey, this is on track, this is good. And then maybe after the fourth day, I could see, oh, you keep edit, you know, you keep changing it. You had these beautiful trees, but then you painted over all the trees, and then you changed the color of the sky. You know, I could see that this journey was like perhaps getting a bit wonky.
I think that was, that was super experimental. That wasn't something I've done before. And I did painting. I don't consider myself as a painter, but I start art with painting. That painting is such a, has got an amazing place in my life. And I do inspire of painting a lot and painters.
But, well, let me even say, I mean,
I would say your photos are so often inspired by paintings, particularly like, say, the Dutch masters, the way you use light.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
So, you know, painting is definitely a massive inspiration of yours.
Yes, but do it by yourself and, you know, making those backdrops painted was messy. But anyway, make the story short is at the end of the week, I realized that this is not what I wanted. And, you know, you have a really short period. Your deadline is there. And it was so chaotic. So then I called my friends and asked them, my beautiful Iranian.
Well, I want to stop you there. So because it's like I came home, I don't know, must have been after, let's say, day 7. And then I just saw this massive painting that you'd been working on for a whole week just ripped in half. I saw half of it over here, half of it over there, and then I was like, oh, okay, so what's happening now?
You've been really lovely during the process because as you said, I did whole painting and ripped it up and I'm like, I'm gonna do it again, this is not what I wanted. You know, the painting by itself was just pretty and cute, but it wasn't the scene I wanted. And then I asked my friends, and I have a bunch of creative artists and, you know, painter friends. They generously came for help, and I couldn't really do that without their help. And I like the idea of that collaboration because these people, they have, you know, they... Like, I had someone who was painting, drawing the thieves, these monsters. And I went through all of that after painting and drawing. And I made it myself because specifically the thieves, the monsters, I wanted them to be in my way, painted in my way exactly. But, you know, the free drawing and painting of someone and... another painter was Anahita, and, you know, the way she was using the colors and contrast to do portraits was amazingly, was such a journey for me to see this bunch of people who all of us care about what's happening in Iran, gathering and coming together to create something actually was really amazing. And again, I think I couldn't done it without people's help and this generosity from these creative people.
Well, let me just make a comment. You know, of course, I've been very close to this process all the way through. And I think it was so beautiful having that communal element where it was those people that came and helped you paint it as well. But then essentially you had your three models, or sometimes you call them actresses, because, you know, there was a degree of acting, especially within this series. And three of them had to be very patient because of all the makeup work, the adding of all the blood / glitter rhinestones. So I saw a lot of beautiful generosity from them and a beautiful communal sense of creating something with meaning and for a purpose. So that was lovely to see from my outside perspective.
Absolutely. You know, just be patient. And, you know, I'm so grumpy when I'm taking photo. I'm just focusing on what I want to do. And these women, they amazingly collaborate. And as you said, they've been really patient because even for the audience, even the glitter and the rhinestones, you were there. It took ages. It took a couple of hours. It was absolutely...
Could have been three hours or something.
4 to 5 hours, I would say, to, you know, I'm not a makeup artist. This is all was so experimental for me. And you have a vision and you want to execute it. And it's always a fear there. Can I execute it? The concept I have in my mind, the picture I have it in my mind, because all of those pictures was already in my brain, was kind of a movie in my mind, and I wanted to execute them.
At the Art Gallery of Ballarat, there's 4 images as part of Pro Femina, and they're called Scene 1, Scene 2, Scene 3, Scene 4. But I know this is the beginning of the series, so you have a number of other scenes in mind, is that right?
Yes, at the moment is 4 scenes done by me, but I'm going to continue the series because in the exhibition, in the Pro Femina you see in Art Gallery of Ballarat, is 4 images including 4 images and 6 other images from my other series in 22, which calls Mustachioed Women and Rhinoplastic Ears. Mm. The reason we curated the series like that together, because, you know, my curator at Art Gallery of Ballarat, Julie McLaurin, she did a really great job to put them together. And I was really happy with the sequence of the images, because in Mustachioed Women and in Profemina both, in the core of the subject matter is about the female's body, is about control, is about power, is about patriarchy. And is it started from 19th century and it goes to the present 21st century and women's struggle with this power and patriarchy.
Well, I can see that this current exhibition, Profemina, is totally related to your previous exhibition, Mustachioed Women and Rhinoplastic Girls, but it also is still connected to In Pain, which, what year was that? 2016. And I've heard it said of artists, I know this from as a poet in the poetry world, that often poets really, they only have one thing they ever want to say. That they're always coming back either to the same theme or the same thing that they're trying to say again and again. But I just see definitely some real themes, which you articulated earlier, about finding beauty within brutality and maybe brutality
within beauty,
you know. And for me, that does seem to be a real essence of what you're about and what you're trying to create.
I do agree with that in some degrees, but at the same time, you know, in the core of my concerns about living in this world as a human, is that's the core of my practice maybe at the moment. But the main thing for me to do that, not I have the same subject matter or I'm playing around the same subject matter, is about to create and make it differently. I love to, every time I create and talking about the my subject matter, even is in the around the same concept, I be able to speak out and portray it differently from other images of mine.
Oh, of course. Yeah, the execution is totally different, of course, and you're coming from different angles. I suppose I was just trying to capture some of the essence of what really motivates you and why you try to create art. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Profemina, or perhaps even about, you know, well, protests are happening tomorrow for the anniversary of the death of Mahsa Amini. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I learned from history that the darkness is not going to be forever. After darkness is going to be a big sunny day. And that big sunny day, it will come for Iranians. And it takes time, but it will. I'm really optimistic about that. And I'm going to thank you specifically for being such a patient husband to support and encourage me through the process. And also my family, my mom and dad, they've been here during the making of the whole series. And also a special thanks to all of the people they've been modeling for me for this project, and the people who helped me and encouraged me and support me and trusted me to create this series, because that was all about trust and collaboration. And I'm so grateful I had that chance to meet so many amazing and lovely people through the project.